Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the future, Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, and it's about taking the opportunity to stop and pray. Now, Covenant Church, our services are 10 a.m. on Sundays. More than welcome to come. If you are looking for a place that is alive, Covenant Church is the place to be. Now, tonight, I do want to digress just briefly. Tonight, we are going to be having our regular monthly worship service at Planned Parenthood, which is 7 o'clock, and it's going to be across the street on Indiana. We have been doing this for a long time intentionally. Planned Parenthood is one of the high places in our area. Blood has been spilled in the land. And we know absolutely that Planned Parenthood is a gate. And we're told in Scripture that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but we have to go there. We have to worship. And worship is an important part of being a Christian, and worship is our warfare. It's one of the key parts of it in the spiritual realm. So I'm going to take a moment here, if you're driving or whatever, if you can pull over, and we can pray together about our country, about this upcoming election as well. Father God, we just thank you that you have put us in this time, the time that prophets and apostles long to see, that you have given us the ability to wage spiritual warfare on your behalf. And Father, that you are our protector, that you are victorious, that you, Father God, are on the throne. And so we just ask right now that you would steel our hearts for this battle ahead in the spiritual realms, and that you would grant us your peace, your overwhelming peace. And so I just ask these things in the name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go first to this principle that I talk about on every show, that our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer, we must move to action. There's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. If you want to do a study about this, you can actually go to Matthew 13 and do an entire study on the kingdom of God, and what is it? It's the premier chapter. Read the whole thing. It is more than what the church has been saying for quite some time. The church has been trying to paint a picture of the kingdom of God that just doesn't exist, and it's not where the Lord's heart is. When we talk about the kingdom, people try to guess. They try to say, well, it can't possibly mean that. That usually meaning that we're taking some kind of an action on behalf of the church, on behalf of Christianity, on behalf of what is good and right and decent in this world. So if you're really going to study the kingdom, you need to study closely Matthew 13. So I want to go through a couple of these things, and I want to talk about Jeremiah as well. Now, we talk about this every show, but Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. So let's talk about the actual kingdom. The kingdom ceases to yield fruit. In other words, when it says it, it will not cease. It will never stop yielding fruit. It's always growing. It's always expanding. Matthew 12:28 says, if Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the abolition of all rule, authority, power, and enemies is the goal of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:6, the apostles thought that Jesus was going to bring an earthly kingdom, like a physical kingdom in, and he said, he changed it actually, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, because they didn't understand the kingdom. The kingdom was among them. It was inside them. Mark 10:15. We are supposed to welcome the kingdom like a little child. The idea there is, and if you've ever experienced this, kids will respond to the kingdom of God immediately. They don't wait. They don't hesitate. Romans 8:28 says that the kingdom of God is good. Luke 2:14 says that there will be peace for those with whom he is well pleased. So there will be peace in the kingdom. That doesn't mean an absence of trial. Then if you go through Matthew 13, you find a whole bunch of really, really neat things about the kingdom. Number one, the kingdom will always grow. It's likened to a seed. Number two, the kingdom grows from something very small to something very large and is a place of refuge and also a place to raise offspring. Also, the kingdom, even if it's hidden in something, will expand inside whatever that is. And the kingdom of God shapes people. Then a little bit later, it talks about in Matthew 13 that the kingdom of God is what makes it is what makes things valuable. So there's one story about a man who sold everything he had to buy the field where he had rehidden the kingdom of God. In other words, he had found it in a place where the owner of that land didn't know it was. And when he found it, he bought the land. It was what made the land valuable, that made the possession valuable. The kingdom of God is what the man invested in. He sold everything to obtain it, and also in the next parable, which talks about the pearls. Then the last one is very interesting too, and it talks about the kingdom of God is like a dragnet. The kingdom of God is something that catches fish. It's symbolic of catching men. The kingdom of God also separates the righteous from the unrighteous. This is key today because what we're having happen today is there is a discernment point in the church. One part of the church is confessing the kingdom. Another part of the church is not. And there's a dividing line. You have this social justice gospel, which is not the gospel, then you have the kingdom. And there's this dividing line in the church because the righteous are being separated from the unrighteous. And by the way, in these parables, it's always the bad that is plucked out. The tares are plucked out. The fish are taken out. It is the good that remains. That's really key. And then lastly, verses 51 and 52 in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God brings forth from overflow. In other words, we preach from overflow, we bless from overflow, we love from overflow. It's very critical to understanding the kingdom. Now, there are some that try to argue about this. The kingdom is in heaven, it's not on the earth. That's not what God said. And there is a picture I want to release to you today, this image that I think is really critical to understanding the heart of the Lord. In Noah's time, Noah was lifted up in the air. He was lifted up in the air. Now, there was water that lifted him up in the air, but he was lifted up in the air nonetheless. In fact, it says that the water covered the mountaintop, so he was lifted way up in the air, okay? God's wrath swept underneath. Then Noah was lowered back down to rule and reign on the earth. 1 Thessalonians talks about us being caught up in the air. Now, that Greek word air is not the word for heaven. It is the word for air, atmosphere. And Jesus meets us as he is coming down to the earth. God's wrath sweeps underneath. Then we come down and we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's what Scripture says. Now, there's another picture in Scripture, too, that is mentioned in a couple other places. Wheat, when you sift wheat, if any of you have ever been around a weed auger, you can kind of see this principle of motion. You try to line up where your truck is so that the wind is blowing across. It's not going to blow you in the face with all the chaff coming off out of the auger. Okay, so wheat, when it's sifted, is thrown up in the air. The wind is blowing through, blows the chaff away, and the wheat comes back down to the earth. These are pictures God has given us throughout all of Scripture about the kingdom. And this is why it's so important to understand it. All right, now for your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. A few things going on. First, in Israel, this coming to us from Debka File. Israel and Bahrain are to establish diplomatic ties in Manama ceremony. In other words, they are going to formally sign a treaty establishing diplomatic relations between Bahrain and Israel. The U.S. Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, he has heading the large U.S. delegation that's going to be attending the ceremony. In other words, it's going to give the United States imprimatur on this. And this is not going to be the only peace treaty coming out of that area of the world. Watch for Saudi Arabia. Watch for Egypt. And watch for several other countries, including Sudan. Now, it's interesting, Sudan today, the United States has agreed to remove Sudan from the terrorism sponsors list because Sudan has paid essentially reparations. Oh, hey, you know, what a great idea that would be for Antifa to and Black Lives Matter to pay reparations for all of the businesses that they've destroyed, black and white and Hispanic and Asian in the downtown areas of the country. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I think they would really, 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 really enjoy paying reparations for that, don't you? I think right now what we have going on in our country is projection from the violent left. They're accusing us of what they're actually doing themselves. That's it. All right, also on the national front, a couple pretty funny ones here. Okay, this coming to us from the New American. All right, first of all, I believe Trump is going to win in a walk, okay? I have many reasons for that, but specifically minority vote is shifting massively for President Trump. That's happening all over the place. And despite the Democrat attempts at voter fraud, this is happening. This is happening, and they don't know what to do about it. Perhaps that's why there's such a push now for Democrat voter fraud. I don't know. Now, it's interesting. Everybody's saying, well, who do we go to for accurate information about this? Well, I would submit to you the Trafalgar Group, or Trafalgar, if you want to pronounce it with a proper English accent. The Trafalgar Group They predicted Trump's victory in 2016. They are predicting his reelection this year as well. But they are warning that Pennsylvania is so rife with vote fraud that Trump is very likely to win that state, but it may be contested. So Robert Calley, he has put out a list of analyses, and Trump continues to maintain his lead going into the election here in less than, 10 days. So you can read this article on the New American, but if you want a source of good information, the Trafalgar Group is the source. They predicted it right in 2016 accurately without bias, and they're predicting in 2020 that Trump will win the election. And I don't think there's any question about that. He is going to win. He's going to win big for many different reasons. All right. Also on the national front, finally, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, the impotent, apathetic RNC, finally is filing an FEC complaint against Twitter, claiming the company made illegal in-kind contributions to the Biden campaign. You think? Good night. It took them long enough. We have seen so much of this until it affected them personally. Then they finally got involved. How about protecting and doing your job in upholding our constitutionally protected rights and stepping in between this out-of-control garbage going on? You know, and one of these things, okay, this kidnapping plot, this supposed kidnapping plot in Michigan, the guys that were arrested there, you know, immediately they were like, they're right wing. The only problem is the guy made anti-Trump videos and all kinds of stuff ends up that they were actually left wing again. And so we see this happening. This is a good thing. These things are being exposed, which brings us to readout news, where an FEC complaint was finally filed against Facebook for election interference. Gun Owners of America and journalist John Crump have filed this complaint against Facebook and the Biden-Harris campaign. The complaint alleges foreign election interference and multiple violations of campaign finance law. Again, you think it's about time. All of the videos Project Veritas has been putting out here lately, it's been incredible. The exposing of what these Marxists are planning has been incredible. And we, as patriots and Christians, just need to stand and hold the line. Do the right thing. Get out and vote. Vote for the party. Vote for the person that represents your values, my values. That's what this is about. Very rarely, okay, do I talk about this, but I want to talk about it right now. The largest voting bloc in America are Christians. The largest voting bloc in America that is not registered to vote are Christians. The largest voting bloc in America that are registered to vote but don't vote are Christians. If Christians led by the Spirit would just show up, America would be the light on a hill again without any question in anybody's mind. We need to do our job as Christians. All right, now to the regional front. This one's hilarious. Marxists publish candidate list for Washington elections. Fuse Washington. Now, Fuse Washington is tied with a group nationally called Progress Now, which is funded by, wait for it, George Soros. Okay, so everybody guessed that listening to the radio show. Fuse Washington has put out their endorsements of who to vote for, okay, including for judge. So guess who you should not vote for? The Fuse Washington list. You can actually look at the Fuse Washington list and use that as the who not to vote for list, because this is all the Marxists and socialists, okay? Now, I want to highlight a couple, you know, Of course, the Marxists are for Referendum 90 because Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto says that we should try to destroy the family. No, we shouldn't. We come against that as Christians in Jesus' name. And they also talk about the endorsement of judges and all these judges that they're endorsing. One of them they also funded through an independent expenditure. Well, that's kind of fascinating. So now the Marxists are actually weighing in on these campaigns. And oh, by the way, it's interesting. You don't see these judges denouncing the Marxists and Fuse Washington. And gladly they accept this independent expenditure, right? Yeah. Anyway, so Readout News has the article. You can check it out there. The Marxists published their candidate list for Washington elections. Thank you for making it easy for us, Fuse Washington. Now we know who all the socialists are running for office, and we are going to vote them either out or vote them down. All right. Also on the regional front, Seattle. This coming to us from the New American. Seattle faces consequences for Summer of Love protests. On October 18th, a district court judge upheld businesses and citizens' right to sue the city of Seattle for allowing violent protesters to occupy part of the city from June 8th to July 1st. It's almost a month. So the judge said, yeah, they can sue the city over this. The lawsuit itself made four claims. The first was the city violated the plaintiff's constitutional rights to equal protection and access to police protection and public services. The city unlawfully took the private property for public use with no compensation. So the city unlawfully did that. Now, these are two, if you're listening to this, and you're somewhere else in the United States, this should get your brain spinning here, what you might be able to do in your area. Okay, number three, the city restricted their ability to use their property to conduct business fully. And number four, the city failed to protect the businesses from the danger of the city's own making. So they're alleging that the city actually created the environment, which is true, for Antifa and Black Lives Matter supporters to profligate and then destroy the property and injure the businesses, damage the businesses of these people. This is what we're seeing in Florida as well, where the governor there is taking a similar approach to these radical committed Marxists. Also, coming to us from Breitbart, radical left-wing groups post online a guide for disrupting the country if they lose the election. And what they're talking about is shutting roads down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the deal. Everybody out there in the trucking industry right now, you're hearing this, they start to do something like that, they're going to learn really quick where their supplies come from if the trucks start delivering those supplies to the cities, right? So truckers, I just want you to pray about that right now. If these guys try to do something that maybe they need to know where their lattes and the soy for their lattes comes from. And the trucking industry, by and large, is full of patriots and Christians. So I don't think they understand what they're coming up against when they make these kind of claims that they're going to shut down the roadways and the highways and turn off the spigot of our supply chain. All right. Also on the regional front, liberal cities on the West Coast particularly sue the federal government over, quote, law and order, end quote. Okay. Whew. All right. In the Federalist Papers, it was very clear that internal to the United States, one of the primary duties of government was to protect our rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same, aka law and order. In fact, most people don't know this, the Constitution requires a Republican form of government. Democracy is nowhere in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, or the constitutions of the 50 states. The word republic comes from the Latin res publica, which means the public thing, or what we know today as the rule of law. Quite literally, you have liberal cities suing over the very foundation and the very structure of the United States of America. That is how delusional, that is how deluded, that is how absolutely given over to reprobate minds these people are. They don't even understand that they're suing the foundation. Or maybe they do, and it's part of their plan and agenda. What it tells us is we need to continue to uphold the rule of law. We need to continue to uphold the republic. We need to continue to be God-honoring citizens and patriots. That's what it tells us to do. All right. I want to talk lastly about... I'm going to jump back up to the National Front very quickly, okay? There are a few Twitter feeds to follow. One of them I want everybody to... And I know you may not be on Twitter, but you can actually go there and view these public tweets. Please go to this Twitter profile and follow this man. Okay, this man used to be in charge of most of special warfare. This guy used to be on the National Security Council as a strategic planner. He was a staffer. I want to make that clear. But this guy wrote a memorandum to President Donald Trump, I've talked about on the show before, that literally prevented a coup. Okay, that man's name is Rich Higgins. And his Twitter profile is RichHiggins_DC. RichHiggins_DC. Follow this guy's Twitter feed through the election. There's all kinds of sources of information out there. This guy is spot on and accurate. And I love how he just completely dismantles... Like the other day, more than 50 senior intelligence officials signed a letter saying that they believed that the emails allegedly belonging to Joe Biden's son was a Russian disinformation operation. Only it wasn't, and he completely dismantles this and just says, you guys have disgraced your entire profession. The fact of the matter is there's pictures and video that are coming out on this that are absolutely disturbing, that involve children, and that's what I'm hearing, it's what I'm reading. Follow Rich Higgins if you want to get the truth. Also, during this time, follow the New American. Go to the New American and make sure that you're checking in there every day, thenewamerican.com, because that's where you're going to get your best information. Lastly, go to Understanding the Threat, which will give you kind of the backstory from an intelligence perspective on what is actually happening in the streets of America. So I want you all to just kind of focus on those things through the election and make sure that your family is prepared in case Antifa is going to do, or BLM is going to do, what they're threatening, and that is to try to shut down America. All right, so I'm going to just end there, and that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. If you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and remember, Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify, and check it out, we have an app now. Covenant Church and School, you can look that up in your app store. Covenant Church and School, we have an entire app. You can get the live streaming Sunday services archived. You can get Church in State with Gabe Blomgren and Caleb Collier. They do a fantastic job. And you can get Patriot Radio now as well. So with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest today. Our guest today is Alec Newman. He is the senior editor of the New American magazine. He's also in charge of Sentinel Media. He has won so many awards. It's incredible. But he has primarily done a great job internationally as a journalist, educator, and author, exposing the deep state and the globalist plan for America. Alex Newman, it's always great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Awesome. I hope you can hear us okay. We really love having you on. Okay, for the listeners, just kind of paint the picture. What are we facing here in the next 2 weeks?
Well, thanks again for having me on, Matt. And I think the next 2 weeks have the potential to get pretty rough. And by that, I do mean it would be wise to have a little bit of extra food on hand, maybe some ammo if you're that kind of person. I think, you know, we know what the other side is thinking. We know what the radical left and the establishment have in the pipeline for us. We know because they've told us. If you look, for example, at the Transition Integrity Project, this supposed bipartisan exercise to war game various scenarios during the election, they've been very clear about what they hope will come. They want unrest in the cities. They want violence. They want Antifa and BLM to terrorize local communities. And ultimately, they want to put Joe Biden in the White House somehow or another. They really don't care how, although they seem more than willing to use a military coup if necessary. And I think the wild card here, Matt, is the potential for foreign involvement. And I mean real foreign involvement, not the tinfoil hat, oh my goodness, Trump is a Russian agent kind of silly conspiracy right. theory. But you know, the legitimate kind. We have the Venezuelan dictatorship, a mass murdering communist regime closely allied with the Castro regime in Cuba. They're bragging. I've got videos of their leadership bragging about how they're sending what they call a Bolivarian breeze to America. And when you dig into that, it looks very much like the unrest that's being stirred up in our cities. We've got communist Chinese agents absolutely everywhere, especially you guys out there on the West Coast. The idea that the communist Chinese are not involved in this election is just absolutely silly. And, you know, the radicals from the 1960s, I know you know this very well, Matt, but I don't know that most Americans know this. The radicals from the 1960s, the terrorists, the communists, the murderers, people like Bill Ayers, who were working with Cuban intelligence to bomb the Capitol, to bomb the State Department, to bomb the Pentagon, to murder police officers and then bomb their funerals. They never went away. Most of them didn't even go to jail. Bill Ayers, for example, got off on a technicality and then went into education and then helped Barack Hussein Obama launch his political career. So these people never went away. And we know from the FBI officers who infiltrated the leadership of this terrorist group, which again was working very closely with hostile foreign dictatorships dedicated to the destruction of the United States. We know that their plan was to cause so much chaos in the United States and then eventually invite foreign dictatorships into the United States to occupy certain pieces of the country. China and North Korea and some of the communist regimes in Asia were going to be mostly on the western part of the United States. We were going to have Cuba occupying a piece of the United States, the Soviet Union occupying a piece of the United States. And, you know, this is according to the leadership of the Weather Underground, as recounted by the FBI operative Larry Graswell, who infiltrated. And he talked about during this chaos, they would implement a system of internment camps, re-education camps, where tens of millions of Americans who were perceived to be counter-revolutionaries would be locked up and indoctrinated with the new normal, so to speak, and no pun intended. And those who couldn't refuse, and you can go watch this interview with Larry Graswell. He gave this interview to J. Edgar Griffin. And he said, well, you know, what about the ones that just positively can't be re-educated, these diehard capitalists and Christians who just refuse to submit to, you know, communist slavery? And they told him, clear as day, well, we're going to have to liquidate them. And they estimated that they would have to exterminate about 25 million Americans. Again, these people never went anywhere. These people have multiple allies in the United States, including among the highest levels of the elite. And when you take all that into consideration and you look at the turmoil that the United States is in, it's very, very possible that things could get nasty. The establishment and the radical left are absolutely determined, and along with the foreign governments, absolutely determined to remove Trump from power by any means necessary. And if that means using violence, I have no doubt that if they think they can get away with it, they will.
You know, I have run into still, even today, people saying, it can't really be that bad, Matt. And I'm like, I don't know where to point you anymore other than the places I already have. But there's even a new film out on this, America in Peril, exposing the socialist threat. Tell the listeners a little bit about that. And also, you know, these guys really mean what they're saying. They really do want to liquidate 25 million people, probably more than that now, from America. They want to completely control every aspect of our lives. They literally mean this. They're not joking around about it.
That's exactly right, Matt. And that's one of the things that the new film, America in Peril, does. It interviews people who have gone through this. It interviews people from Cuba and people from Venezuela and people from Haiti, people who have lived through exactly what you, Mr. and Mrs. America, to quote a certain anti-gun in the U.S. Senate, are experiencing right this moment, the turmoil in the streets, the calls to destroy our local police departments, the revolutionaries operating within and outside of government. So it's an excellent new film. They interview Trevor Loudon, who I know you know well, one of the leading, if not the leading, anti-communist analyst, researcher in the United States. I just had the opportunity to spend the weekend with him in the Ozark Mountains. That was fun. Also interviews Candace Owens, yours truly, my good friend Frank de Varona, who invaded Cuba when he was 17 as part of the Bay of Pigs invasion. He had to flee Cuba when he was a little child. The regime there had stolen his family's farm and had threatened to murder them all, so his parents sent him out of the country. He eventually returned when he was 17 to try to overthrow the Castro regime, and he was in prison, spent 2 years in a Cuban gulag. You should hear the story. It's absolutely horrifying. He had an opportunity to meet Ernesto Che Guevara, the mass murdering lunatic who a bunch of college students now put his face on their T-shirts. But these people are dead serious. And in the film America in Peril, you get some really vivid descriptions of what people who've lived through this experience and how the exact same thing is happening in the United States right now. And I sometimes get the same thing that you get, Matthew. People say, wow, this is America. Like, yeah, that might happen in Cuba. I mean, that might happen in China or Germany or Russia or Vietnam or Cambodia or Korea. Yeah, I can go on and on and on, but certainly not America. I mean, we're just immune to that type of thing. And I tell people, no, we are not. These termites, if you will, have been eating away at the foundations of our system of government, of our constitutional structures for generations. They've been dumbing down our children. They've been indoctrinating our children. Where do you think all these ragamuffins burning down our cities came from? They came out of the public school system. So the traditional defenses that did make America immune to that have been weakened in some cases to the point of just being completely destroyed. And Americans need to recognize our country is in serious danger. Now, I don't want to sound alarmist, and I'm not predicting that communist revolution will succeed in the 2020 election. In fact, I'm relatively optimistic about the outcome of this election. But I think we would be very naive to say, oh, well, everything's just going to be fine. We don't have anything to worry about. That's simply not true. You would be naive to believe that. You'd be doing the equivalent of an ostrich, putting your head in the sand and hoping the lion doesn't bite your butt off. You will get your butt bit. So you got to be paying attention, folks. This is a very serious time in our country's history. In my lifetime, I don't think we've ever been this dangerously close to having our whole system overthrown. And I hope people understand the implications of that. It's not just, hey, we're going to overthrow the system and we're just going to become like Sweden or, we're going to become like Germany or France. And it won't be maybe the same liberty we've been used to, but at least we'll be okay. No, no, no. These people are playing for all the marbles at this point. They've got the media in their pockets. They're operating at the highest levels of power. The deep state is all up and down the bureaucracies in Washington, D.C., especially including the intelligence agencies, organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg, the secret societies, the Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bone. And these people are all working toward the ultimate destruction of the United States and the enslavement of the American people. And, it's going to take some real hard work to be able to get ourselves out of this mess. I hope the American people are capable of it, but it is going to take some effort. And, that hasn't really been our forte in the United States over the last few decades at least, but we're really going to have to get serious if we want to turn this around.
We very much are going to have to just take this as really a threat against the country itself and our republic and our way of life and everything else in between, particularly our Christianity, because it seems like our Christianity is really what's being targeted here. And the question always comes up, are there really enough Christians, Alex, to withstand what is coming at us?
And that remains to be seen, I think. I hope there is. You know, as I travel across the country, I'm tremendously encouraged. I just spent time in Georgia. We had the Red Pill Expo there. I just spent time in Missouri. We had the Worldview Weekend Conference there. I spent about a week and a half in Oklahoma, met people all across the state, did you know, 20 events in less than 10 days. And everywhere I go, Christians are waking up. They're repenting. They're getting active. Political leaders are now waking up. They're learning what's happening. And that is tremendously encouraging. And I think Christians need to understand more than anything else, this is a war against God and God's people. The simplest way I can put it, if you want to know where these totalitarians come down on any issue, take the Bible, flip it upside down. So whatever the Bible teaches, they want the opposite. The Bible teaches male and female, they say there's infinite genders. The Bible teaches marriages between a man and a woman, they say we shouldn't even have marriage. The Bible teaches private property, they say we should steal everybody's private property and give it to the leader so they can redistribute it in a better way. The Bible says don't covet. These people thrive on covetousness. They encourage everybody to covet what their neighbors has as a means of fomenting revolution and unrest. The Bible ordains, a God of the Bible ordains nation states. These maniacs tell us that nations are racist, that borders are racist, that's you know, old-fashioned stuff that we need to get rid of. On every single issue, the Marxists, the socialists, the communists, the Islamists, the globalists, they all come down on exactly the opposite side. So we need to be very, very careful here, and we do need to recognize as Christians that our hope is not in a political person. Our hope is not even in the political system. Our hope is not even in this world. But as Christians, we have certain obligations. And one of our obligations is to try to establish justice in this country, to try to establish good government. God has explained what good government looks like. It is a terror unto evil. So God has defined evil for us, which is very nice of him. Murder is evil. Robbery is evil. Rape is evil. And so those things ought to be punished by the government. Instead, more and more, we see those things being rewarded and subsidized by government. I mean, the abortion holocaust is a very good example of that. Millions and millions of children being butchered, not just with government approval, but even with government tax money. This is the struggle that we're in, folks. It is, you know, to use a cliche, it is a fight between good and evil. It is a fight between the kingdom of darkness and God's people. And until you see it in those terms, to recognize that we are really struggling against evil, against spiritual wickedness, against darkness and the rulers of the darkness of this world, until you realize that, I think your efforts will be in vain. It's not to say you can't be useful in the freedom fight, but until you actually understand your enemy, as Sun Tzu said, if you don't understand yourself or your enemy, you're done. You're going to lose every single battle. And if you do understand yourself and your enemy, then you can win every battle. So we have got to get a better understanding of ourselves, who we are as Americans, who we are as Christians, what is our identity in Christ, what is our identity as a nation, and then we need to clearly define the enemy. And, you know, I heard Curtis Powers put it this way, and I've just been quoting him ever since. If you want to understand the enemy, you need to recognize your commander-in-chief is Satan, okay? And that sounds wild to non-Christian people, but that's the reality. These are the forces of evil. This isn't just about a political disagreement. You know, I can disagree with my neighbor about whether tax rates ought to be 3% or 18%. You know, we can have a legitimate discussion about that. Turning America into slaves, that's not a legitimate political disagreement. That is something that must be opposed and resisted with every means at our disposal.
There is no question about that. And I look at where we're headed. And remember, 10 years ago, we would have conversations like this, and people would say, that's just such hyperbole. It's never going to happen in America. And yet here we are, we're having the conversation in America. And, you know, it started as you so presciently observed, it started in our school system. And one of the great, I see great silver linings out of everything that's been happening is there's been a massive exodus from the public school system into the private and homeschool system. And we've been praying about this for a generation. And what's funny to me is some people weren't ready for it. They were like, God's never going to answer that prayer. Well, yes, he did. He answered it big time. Are we ready to receive all those kids?
Yeah, and that you're exactly right, Matt. This is, I think, one of the brightest spots on the horizon. coming from all this corona craziness and the shutdowns and the lockdowns. The homeschool population of the United States just in the last 6 months has doubled. Okay, Gallup did a poll and they asked families, with children who are school age, are you homeschooling? Are you sending your kids to traditional government school or are you putting your kids in a private school? The number of homeschool families has increased from 5% to 10% of all families in America with school-age children. And when you add to that the fact that homeschool families typically tend to be larger than homeschool, than the families that send their children to government indoctrination centers posing as schools, you recognize that the surge in the homeschooling population has been absolutely enormous. That means 1 out of 10 families with school-age children now is homeschooling. And that's just in the last 6 months. The more the school system comes up with these idiotic regulations and all the kids have to wear face diapers and they've got to live in a bubble and they've got to sit in plexiglass cubes and they've got to disinfect themselves. I mean, the more they push this idiocy, the more parents are going to say, nope, I'm done with this. We're keeping our kids at home. And I think a lot of parents during this pandemic, or plandemic as a lot of people are calling it now, got their first taste of homeschooling. You know, and they realized, hey, that was fun, and the kids had a good time, and it wasn't as difficult as we were told. And no, I don't really need a teacher credential and a useless 4-year degree from a college to be able to teach my own children. In fact, nobody's better qualified to teach my children than me. And I think the exodus out of the public school system is only just beginning. That's why the totalitarians are plotting and strategizing right now. Harvard University was about to have this summit where they were going to plan how they were going to come against homeschooling. The French president, the globalist Emmanuel Macron, has just announced in the last few weeks that he plans to ban homeschooling next year, following in the footsteps of mass murdering National Socialist Adolf Hitler, the first world leader ever to criminalize homeschooling. And that's the direction that the totalitarians want to go, because they recognize as long as there's that one kid who's not being brainwashed, there's always the possibility that, you know, as the child pointed out, that the emperor had no clothes, said, hey, the emperor's naked. And then the whole society says, wait a minute, you're right, the emperor really is naked. There aren't any fancy clothes on that guy. And so homeschooling at private schools, Christian schools, are a tremendous threat to the brainwashing, the indoctrination, the socialization, as they like to call it, which is really just the preparing of children to live in this crazy globalist system that they're building. So very, very good things happening, but we need to recognize that the educational liberty is going to come under tremendous assault in the months and years ahead, and we need to fight for that like our freedoms and our families and the future of our country depend on it, because they do.
I was not going to do this, but I want to ask you about this directly. So you mentioned about Adolf Hitler, and very few people know this. Nazi-era laws were actually what Germany was using to persecute Christians as recently as this last decade. And they're going back. Are we really going back to something that was rejected after World War II and totalitarianism? Are we really, really going back there?
It's really unfortunate, Matt, but that's exactly what's happening. You know, after the National Socialists were defeated, there was a massive denazification program where Nazi laws and Nazi policies were basically abolished. And yet the homeschool restrictions stayed in place. And so these homeschool laws that are being enforced against Christians and against homeschoolers in Germany, these are literally holdovers from the mass murdering dictatorship that slaughtered millions of people and started the Second World War. And now other governments are following that lead. And you're right, after World War II, people were so appalled by this that when they were creating the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which, by the way, is an abomination, I don't want to sound like I'm endorsing this UN perversion that really makes rights into privileges that are granted by international agreements and governments and international organizations, and they can be revoked at any time by any ruler for basically any purpose. So I don't want to sound like I'm endorsing these, but in these international human rights instruments that emerged after World War II, it was spelled out very clearly, and I quote, parents have a prior right to direct the education and the upbringing of their children. This was a direct response to the Nazi atrocities where the government tried to become the parent and tried to tell parents they weren't allowed to educate their children and tried to tell Christian schools that they couldn't raise children in the fear and admonition and instruction of the Lord. That was a direct response. And yet now we have seen multiple governments following these footsteps communist China is cracking down on homeschoolers. The Swedish regime is cracking down on homeschoolers. I was there when this happened. Indeed, 10 years ago, the Swedish government passed the education reform bill, and it did two crucial things. The first was it criminalized homeschooling. It said, basically, parents, you may no longer homeschool your children under any circumstances unless there's some kind of medical condition that prevents your child from attending, or you live so far from a school that it's not feasible for your child to attend. And so those were the only two exceptions. And then in that same bill, and I think this is coming here too, Matt, they brought all ostensibly private schools under the control of the government. So some years before, they had launched a school of choice program where basically the tax money would follow the child. And, you know, people of goodwill from all across the political spectrum said, hey, that's a nice idea. You know, if I'm a left-wing lunatic, I can send my kid to a communist school. If I'm a Christian, I can send my kid to a Christian school. You know, hey, that sounds like fair enough, right? Why should everybody have to wear the same one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter model? Well, what they did when they passed this education reform bill was say, just kidding, all the schools that took government money now must teach the government's insane curriculum, which, by the way, bans the Bible, bans any form of prayer, teaches first graders that it's a fact that gender is a social construct, and you get the point. And so I think that's going to be one of the next big battles in America. They are going to try to start handing out tax money to all the private schools, and it sounds very good at first glance, but they're going to use that as the camel's nose under the tent to try and come in and regulate private schools. So that's my big concern. But, you know, we've seen Germany, we've seen China, we've seen Cuba, we've seen Sweden, now we're seeing France all move in this direction. And there is a very powerful, very well-organized movement in this country led by two so-called academics. It's Professor Elizabeth Bartholet. She's a Harvard Law professor. She's also the director of their child advocacy program. And then there's James Dwyer over at William & Mary. He's also a law professor. Both of them are pushing for banning homeschooling completely. Bartholet actually called for a presumptive ban on homeschooling. And Dwyer takes it even a step further. He rejects even the notion of parental rights at all. He said the only reason that there is this relationship between the mother and the child and the father and the child is because the state and its benevolence confers that relationship and those powers on parents.
It's disgusting.
Through their paternity and maternity laws. This is a crazy view of family. It's an abomination. There's no place in a free society, and yet these people have very, very powerful backers.
So, Alex, we've got about 3 minutes left. Hunter Biden, China, what is really going to come out here? I'm reading some extraordinarily disturbing stuff. What do you know? And then also, if you could plug Liberty Sentinel Media and The New American.
Yeah, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it. I think the scandal with Hunter Biden is only just beginning. Some of the stuff that I'm hearing from sources and some of the stuff that's now coming out publicly is that there is evidence of monstrous crimes on there way beyond just your regular old political corruption. We have all kinds of smoking gun evidence that Biden and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were involved in things that I think are clearly treason. Right? The Defense Intelligence Agency memo from 2012 proving that they knew the Syrian revolution was led by al-Qaeda. They wanted to support it anyway. They wanted to create a Salafist principality in eastern Syria. I mean, that is as close to treason as you can get. The only possible excuse they would have is that, well, hey, Congress didn't technically declare war on al-Qaeda, so come on, you can't call it treason. But no matter what, these people, all of them, long behind bars, and I'm glad that Trump is finally putting that out there. You know, I think a lot of the fake media takes that as hyperbole. This isn't hyperbole at all. These people are criminals. Their objective was to destroy our nation. They betrayed our people. They violated multiple federal laws, and I think this Hunter Biden scandal is really just the tip of the iceberg. As for where people can find all this and much more, the New American Magazine, go to thenewamerican.com. If you're not a subscriber yet, I highly recommend that you get a subscription. It's the news that you need to keep yourself free. LibertySentinel.org is my personal blog webpage, and I post stuff there from people who I like, from people who send me stuff. Then I write for the Epic Times. If you're not a subscriber to that, it's a very good newspaper. And those are some of the things I do. We've also just started a new ministry, Matt, earlier this year called Public School Exit. I'm the executive director for that. We're working to knock down every barrier to families removing their children from government indoctrination centers. And that's kind of where it's at, Matt. And again, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you for all the work you're doing. I'm delighted to know that you're still very active in the fight. And working in ministry now. It's just it's phenomenal what you do, Matt, and we sure appreciate it. So.
Well, Alex, thank you so much.